You're listening to Filling Seats, the State of Enrollment Marketing in Higher Ed, hosted by StudentBridge. In this podcast, you'll learn what's working to grow, shape, and sustain enrollment at colleges and universities directly from fellow enrollment marketers, thought leaders, and ed tech innovators. Listen in for proven strategies to fill seats this cycle and beyond. Welcome to episode 19 of Filling Seats. In this episode, you'll hear from Cassie Montgomery, who is the Director of Outreach Services at Amarillo College, which is a community college in the Texas Panhandle. You'll hear her discuss how marketing a community college differs from a four-year institution, how she revamped their campus visit experience and designed it to meet the needs of a prospective community college student, and the importance of relationship building for recruiting their students. Let's meet Cassie.
I did not grow up in higher education. I grew up in the private sector. So my first job outside of getting my undergrad was at a call center. And I worked my way up from being an agent on the call center through being a supervisor and then a lead supervisor. And then went to multiple call centers because that's how call centers work. And we would call it a carousel. So you would just ride the carousel to multiple call centers. And I found my place within one call center where I got to be the social media specialist for the organization. And from there, I became a crisis communicator for the organization. And I fell in love with communication. That's what my undergrad and my master's degree are both in. So that's where I really found my professional career to kind of hit its peak. And then I realized that the love that I had for communication translated to serving people and helping people. So I was communicating with people about crisis situations that were affecting their daily lives. But the passion that I had about it wasn't the actual communicating. It was connecting people to resources that mattered to them and what they needed at the time. So while doing all of that, I was also an adjunct instructor at the local community college. And I was also an adjunct for my alma mater, a four-year institution down the road. And I just fell in love with the mission of the community college. So I left my alma mater to be at the community college. And that's where I learned the culture of community college in general was more conducive to my drive and my love of helping people. And so when the position for Director of Outreach Services at the community college opened up, I truly felt like the job was written for me in mind, and they didn't even know I existed. I was some part-time person who only taught at night once a week. They didn't know who I was. But everything in that job description screamed, this is for you. You need this job. And so here I am. This is my first big girl job in higher education. And it encapsulates everything that I love about helping and serving people.
Tell me a little bit about your current role and what you do.
So the job description says that I oversee our student recruitment efforts for our territories. Our college has a 9-county service area in the panhandle of Texas. So that little square at the top of the state that everybody thinks is nothing but farmland.
That's not so little.
Exactly. Yes. There are colleges and people there. So I oversee the recruitment efforts for those 9 counties. And I have a small but mighty team. I have 2 full-time recruiters and a part-time. And we have different demographics that we work to recruit and to get enrolled at our college. So I help with admissions processes, with financial aid, with getting students in front of their advisor to get them registered. We conduct campus tours. We conduct open houses. We go to high schools and do visits with them, college and career fairs. Everywhere that you think a recruiter needs to be, that's what I'm organizing with my team.
What industry did you work in with the call center, and what did you teach as an adjunct?
My first call center was at an outsourcing company. So I actually supported extended warranty plans for cars and roadside assistance plans for cars. And then I went into property and casualty insurance service. So when you call your insurance agent, you may not be speaking directly with that agent. They have sent that call to an outsourcing center. And then I moved on to life and health insurance. And then that's where I got involved in the crisis communication and social media, was for the life and health side, which is really what turned on the light for me, you know, being really close to the needs that our members had. And then teaching, I have both my undergrad and my master's degree in communication. So I started out teaching basic public speaking, which is the class that nobody enjoys taking unless you're a communication major.
Or you have a really great instructor.
Exactly. Yes. And I always told my students, my goal is not to make you a good public speaker. Only you can do that. But my goal is to make you more comfortable with speaking and, you know, keep you from throwing up on yourself when you have to present in front of somebody. And I feel like I met that goal. I feel like everybody walked out feeling at least more comfortable with their abilities. And that's the only goal that I had. But so I started teaching basic public speaking, and then I took on dual credit basic public speaking, which was really exciting because those are the high school students that are trying to get ahead and getting those college credits while they're still in high school. So they were being bused to our campus. And that was, for some of them, that was their very first experience with a college campus. But to have that exposure kind of on the clock, you know, like they're getting credit, they're not just coming for a tour. This is their campus. That was really exciting.
So when you talked about your title and what you do, you use the word recruitment. So is that just kind of what y'all call it there? Or are there other admissions folks or another admissions office? Kind of explain that setup for me.
So the reason I say recruitment in this conversation is because nobody understands when I go to a conference what outreach services is. They all think that I'm a social worker or that I oversee like the food bank on our campus, and that's definitely not me. We do have that, but that's not me. I say recruitment because that's a universally understood term, but that is exactly what my department does. Now, I will tell you, a community college in the Panhandle of Texas does not have a brand recognition issue. Everybody knows where Amarillo College is. They may not know exactly what we have to offer. We do run into that sometimes where they think, oh, I didn't know you guys had something like that. But for the most part, they know that we exist, that we are their community college, and that we may have a service that's best for them. So when we go recruit, we're not having to tell somebody, hey, we are in Amarillo and, you know, here's how you can get started. We truly are just the navigator of that person's experience. We are the concierge of getting them from the beginning to the end. So from interest or application all the way through to registration, that's our job, is to give them the soft skills experience that they may be missing if they just try to navigate it on their own.
At a community college, the whole idea of outreach or marketing is much more about customer service and process efficiency versus like marketing messaging. Would you say that that's accurate?
Definitely. Like, I have worked my entire career creating communications that are at a seventh or eighth grade reading level. And that's not because we've ever assumed that our customers or our members were dumb or couldn't read above an eighth grade reading level, but you want to make sure that your communications can hit all audiences. So while some may have an experience that's amazing for them by never interacting with someone on my team, you know, just going on our website, applying for admission, following the checklist and moving on, that's not a one size fits all approach. And so what they truly need is multiple options to accomplish the same goal. And we have a communications and marketing team, and my department works very heavily with them to make sure that what we're putting on our website or in print or on billboards is fitting the message that my team is putting out there, and vice versa. If we're not saying the key phrase that they've put a lot of money into a campaign for, then we need to adjust to that. But most definitely, putting a billboard out there, putting a website out there is not enough. And so recruitment really is a boots on the ground grassroots effort that has to touch every possible avenue that you can.
What are some recent wins or successes that you've had?
So I would say that one of the biggest successes that we've had, not even revitalizing, but starting a virtual campus tour for our website. We thought we had it made with a Google Maps option, and then COVID came along and we learned that that is nowhere close to enough for our prospective students. We partnered with StudentBridge to make that happen at the onset of the pandemic. We had been talking about it prior to the pandemic, and thankfully our leadership and our administration bought into the idea that we needed more. So we did that, and we are still seeing an uptick in the traffic that comes to that site. And I wouldn't say a decrease, but a stagnant amount of people wanting to come on campus for in-person tours, which is shocking to me because I expected in-person tours to go way down and to never come back up to pre-pandemic levels, but it has. And I think that the amount of traffic that we're getting on our virtual tour combined with our in-person tours is phenomenal. So I would say that one of our biggest wins is having a virtual option where people from anywhere can come to Amarillo College without leaving if they don't want to. Like I said before, we have a 9-county service area. We have 4 campuses here in Amarillo, and then we have 2 campuses in 2 separate counties. So it can be very difficult if you want to see 2 different places. It can take an entire day. But going on our website and doing it from the comfort of your own home, you could see one in person and then the other online, or all of it online if you wanted to.
What are your enrollment goals currently? Are y'all in growth mode, trying to maintain, trying to provide more access? What are those looking like?
We are in growth mode right now, and thankfully, we are getting close to hitting that goal. I don't want to say that we are hitting that goal because we're coming up on payment deadline and census day, so anything can change. But we are trending positively, and I'm super excited about that. And this year is what we've called our make or break year. This is the semester that we will base our funding on for the next 2 years. So any extra enrollment is going to benefit us. Mm-hmm. So we are on target, and I'm very thankful for that.
I'd love to talk a little bit more about your campus visit experience, because traditionally campus visits are seen as a very first-year freshman, 4-year institution type thing. And it's like this rah-rah experience, and you get swag, and you learn about the traditions and blah, blah, blah. And the needs of a student going to a community college are very different. They might not be an 18-year-old. They may have a family. They may be working full-time. You know all of this. I don't have to tell you that. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, the history of your campus visit program. Like, did you start it? Was it there before? And how do you structure it so that it addresses the needs of a community college student?
So first we'll talk about how it came to be and where we are now. So before I came along, our college did not have a CRM. So we were managing campus tours with post-it notes and note cards and emails and spreadsheets and whatever else felt good at the time. There was no streamlining of that process. And let me just backtrack for a second. I started in this position in January of 19. So it was in this millennium that we were acting that way. So thankfully, the college had already initiated an agreement for a CRM before I started, and it implemented shortly after I started. So that's mostly what I've ever known, is scheduling tours within a CRM. So thankfully, we are in the new millennium with technology. And that has really made the difference as far as not just scheduling the tours, but following up on them and tracking the progress and the success of them, knowing whether or not a tour actually does make a difference. And newsflash, it totally does. So when I first started, we were handing out bags of information on tours, and we still do that today. Our campuses, again, are pretty spread out. So if you're interested in a specific program, we may not offer that program on the main campus that you're touring, but the main campus has all of the resources that every student is going to want to know about: bookstore, tutoring centers, library, technology center, advising, financial aid. Those are all universally needed resources for most students. We don't hand out swag for campus visits. Our non-traditional students really appreciate just getting the bag of information. And it's just a folder with all the flyers from the various departments that are universally necessary. And they really appreciate that because it can be so overwhelming going through 9 different buildings on one campus and being told so much information in 45 minutes to an hour. And the non-traditional student is who is most often taking advantage of our tours. And so they are typically coming with their baby on their hip, or they're traveling with a stroller, or they've brought their significant other, or they've got their phone blowing up with texts because the kids are at home and they need mom or dad. And so the non-traditional student does not have the bandwidth to digest everything that we're throwing at them on a campus tour. So we just hand them the bag from the very beginning and say, you don't need this right now, but when you get home, you may have questions. And if they're not in this bag, my information is, and you can reach out to me and ask those questions. So just sending them with a ticket to success is really what we're about in this mode of where we are. I personally, if I can avoid it, I will never buy swag again. Never once in this role will I ask for a budget to buy swag. I've attended enough conferences with enough high school counselors on panels who say your swag ends up in the garbage. So why would I buy things with taxpayer dollars just to know that it's going to be thrown away? I did not pick my institution because of the t-shirt they gave me or the sticker that they gave me for my water bottle. I picked my institution for the values that they met for me, the cost, of course, and the proximity to home. Those are the things that we all know as higher ed professionals. That's what makes or breaks an experience. So I don't have to spend any money on that.
We'll be right back.
Want to know exactly how peer institutions are increasing enrollment? Check out three case studies in the show notes featuring three schools who've grown enrollment consistently over the past several years, including a private liberal arts college in Illinois, a small public school in Nebraska, and a large public institution in Georgia. Or visit studentbridge.com/resources to see how other institutions achieve more, like increasing campus tour numbers, engagement, yield, and beyond. What do y'all struggle with in terms of enrollment, marketing, outreach?
I think historically, and I can't speak to it just yet because we're not at that point in our enrollment cycle for this year, but historically, we have run into the issue of last minute enrollments. And they've done everything, right? They've done the application, they've done their placement testing, we have health records on file, we have transcripts, but they have just ghosted us throughout this summer. And classes are filling up and offices are getting full of people waiting to see their advisor or to take care of financial aid. But it never fails. Payment deadline to the first day of class, which is about 2 weeks, we see an influx of people. And we always ask, like, what did we do wrong? Where have we messed up? You know, we've been here all summer. We've had the billboards. We've had the radio ads. We've had the commercials. We've sent the flyers. We've got the banners on our campus. What is it that we're missing? And again, I can't speak to whether or not we've improved that this year, but I feel it coming. You know, I feel it in my bones. I feel like it's about to rain. And I don't know how to be better about that. I don't know where we went wrong.
I really think that sometimes procrastination, you don't feel that urgency until it's like, oh my gosh, this is the last day I really have to do it. Where, you know, all the days before it's like, oh, I have another day. I have another day.
I do think that we thrive on deadlines as a society. So we've always seen an uptick in enrollments between last day to pay and the first day of classes, because what we call last day to pay is actually last day to secure your classes before you get dropped for non-payment.
Right.
So if you come and pay after the last day to pay, you can still do that, but you're going to have to re-register and go through that experience all over again. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
So we do thrive on deadlines. I totally agree with that.
In terms of channels that you're using to reach students, which ones are most effective?
I hate to say this, but I think that the best channel that we have seen the successes of our efforts is in person. And I know that's hard because we all just want to push a button and send the message and get it out there. But building relationships with your prospects is truly the best way to engage with them and to get them on the hook. After that, I would say text is the best way that we have seen a return on our investment. We get more responses, we get more opens, we get more clicks. They're doing the thing that we ask them to do when we text it to them. And then after that, it's email. And then after that, it's all other social media. I do wish that we were more active in an enrollment manner on our TikTok, Mm-hmm. But I don't have the time to do that. Our communications and marketing department runs that, and they run things by me. They, you know, they let me know of a campaign that they're thinking about doing, but I'm not heavily involved in that. I wish I could be. I wish I had the time and the capacity for that. But aside from that, social media, they're not coming to your community college because of social media. That's not the best way that we have seen our efforts to yield.
So what are some of those top in-person efforts? Is it them coming to you and physically being on campus and that interaction taking place? Or is it you going to them at certain places?
I'm a big believer of meeting them where they are. So if we are meeting that student in their high school, that's where they're comfortable and that's their home turf. So you're a visitor in their house and they can walk away at any time. So the longer you can keep them engaged in a conversation, the higher your chances are of continuing a relationship with them. If they have sought you out and have asked to come to a campus event or to a campus tour, it is your privilege to build a relationship with them. It is not an obligation. It's not a responsibility. It is an honor. They are gifting you their personal time, and you have every right to spit on that or to embrace it. And if you don't make that first impression a positive one for them, you've spit on that. And we don't have dorms. So if you're coming from more than an hour away, you're committed to being an independent, grown student, and you're coming to Amarillo for a growth opportunity. And shame on us if we hinder that in any way.
What is your mix of students coming straight from high school versus returning and then adult learners?
So our new students, or what we call FTICs, first time in college, they make up about 15 to 20% of our enrollment, depending on the year. And then the other 80% are either persisting students who continue term after term, or they are returning stopouts. So they've come to us at some point and now they're coming back.
So that 15 to 20% could be straight from high school or adult first time in college.
Yes, it is traditionally the 18, 19 year old. But yes, there are a small percentage of that are adults that have never attended.
Are there a lot of other community colleges in this 9 county area that you serve? And what does your competition look like?
So the state of Texas has what are called gentlemen's agreements between community college systems. So there are 26 counties in the panhandle of Texas, but Amarillo College only has 9 within its territory. So there are 2 other community colleges in the panhandle that make up the other counties within that 26. So we have this agreement where we will not intentionally approach prospects that are outside of those 9 counties for us. We have a little bit of competition between the 2 other community colleges. They are much smaller than Amarillo College, just in the population that they serve, the programs that they offer, but they do offer residence options there. So they have things that we don't. We have things that they don't. We also have a 4-year institution 20 minutes up the road, which is my alma mater. And we have a D1 institution 2 hours away. So there is competition there, but I say that with kind of an eye twitch because the data shows that for graduating seniors, we get roughly 60% of all of those students. And they at least attempt within their first year, they attempt college at our institution. So we get a big chunk of them, but we also know that there are other institutions out there.
So when you think about other community colleges, what are some things that they are doing that you think they're doing a really great job with?
I have learned as recently as last month that we can always do better at our campus visits. We can be more intentional and do more outreach when they are coming to us with their free time. I keep capitalizing on that they are gifting us with their day. My time is precious. So when someone brings me their time, I need to capitalize on it as much as possible. I think that we've learned that in the consumer industry, people don't like commercials. They don't like ads and they will skip right through it or they will pay extra to avoid the ads. And so you don't want to be a commercial. You don't want to be salesy. You want to build a relationship with them. You want to give them an experience. I've learned from South Texas College that your ambassador program needs to be heavily robust, that there need to be real leadership opportunities for those student ambassadors, that you can't just waste their time because, again, time is precious. They could work at a fast food restaurant making double what they make for me. So I need to make it worth their time to be here for us and to give them what they're craving, because the paycheck is not it. They're not here to be rich. They're here to survive. So that's definitely what I've learned from community colleges, is that the successful ones, the ones that are meeting or exceeding their enrollment goals, are the ones that are providing an experience for those on-campus events.
What are some things that you think other community colleges could be doing better?
I do recommend, if you have the funds and the resources to attend the CIVSA conference every year, highly recommend it. I just learned about it in November at another conference, but this conference changed the perspective that I and my colleagues have about campus experiences and student ambassadors. So if you're in a position where you oversee student ambassadors, or if you oversee visitor centers or on-campus events, that is the conference that you need to put all of your eggs into, because it is full of energy, full of ideas, and packed with innovation. So Especially community colleges, because CIVSA is really heavy on the four-year institutions, they need more community colleges. And I went, and a colleague of mine went, and we got so much out of it, even with it being mostly four-year institutions. So the more of us that can be there, we can share those unique pain points that our four-year counterparts really don't face or face in a different way. And you would be shocked at the amount of ammunition that you come back with that arms your next enrollment cycle. I highly recommend it.
Do you struggle to get the funding that you need to properly run a visit program, or does your school see it as the priority that you see it as?
Both. So my school does see it as a priority. And when I ask for something, I typically get it, because I don't ask for much. As I said previously, I eliminated all swag from my budget. So I don't ask for things like that. And everything that I do ask for, I'm willing to sacrifice something else. So yeah. I was willing to sacrifice our swag budget to partner with our campus tour vendor. So that's where you have to be willing to make those sacrifices for what's truly important. And I do get the added benefit of my boss being incredibly supportive of our efforts.
So obviously we've gone through a lot of change in the past few years. How has that change affected Amarillo College, and what do you see for the future of community colleges, let's say going into the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think we're all pretty aware of the demographic cliff that we're about to fall off of. So you're going to have to become more cognizant of that non-traditional student. And you have to meet them where they are in a way that's appropriate for them when you're planning out your recruitment strategies. You've got to be creative. And I personally believe that the best perspectives are from outside of the house. So talk to your local employers, talk to the HR directors there and say, you know, hey, how many frontline employees do you have that could be reskilled or upskilled in their area? Do you offer tuition reimbursement plans? Can I get a copy of that so that I can be educated on it? Can I get access to these employees in intentional one-on-one conversations? Offer them real, tangible results. Everybody wants to know what's the outcome going to be. And it should not just be a piece of paper that you put on your wall. It should be a step forward or a promotion or opening a door to the next opportunity, whatever it is. But I totally believe that we have to meet them where they are in a way that is appropriate for the situation. I do think that the curriculum that we offer to our students will have to change in the next 5 to 10 years. I read a book not too long ago, and I wish I remembered the title of it, but it was basically saying that today's kindergartners will work in jobs that don't exist right now. So I think that we need to be thoughtful in the curriculum that we offer. Quite honestly, I don't know that today's listeners of this podcast are going to be in control of that curriculum. I think that their hands will be tied as far as what that curriculum looks like. But But I think that we need to be beating that drum with those who do make those decisions at our institutions and reminding them that we can put lipstick on a pig all day long, but if that pig only goes to slaughter, what have we done for ourselves? We have not made anything better for anybody. So it's really important for us to be aware of the product and the experience that we are presenting to our constituents, to our stakeholders. And I truly believe that education is an experience, but it also is a product. We feel like we're investing in it, so we should have something to gain from it. I don't believe that your general education is going to be enough. I think that we're going to need to segment into fields that we aren't yet fully informed of yet. And so Our curriculum leaders need to be at the forefront of that fight, finding out what is on the horizon and guiding that curriculum accordingly.
What is an app or a marketing tool that you could not live without?
Can I say Student Bridge?
Sure.
So let me preface this by saying I was not paid to say this. I was not asked to say this. But the virtual campus experience that we partnered with was Student Bridge. And I think that that truly makes the difference in the experience that we offer our students. And we're still learning it. You know, our platform is still getting better and we're still improving the way that we say things or how we point things out. But we are truly seeing the benefits of that investment. So I think that my department could not live without Student Bridge. When our account manager met with our president, we all felt like this option just fit like a glove. We went through the whole RFP process like everybody does, and we did have a top three. And to be honest, Student Bridge wasn't even the top one. It was just somewhere in the top three. And we just kept feeling this connection of support and that we felt like this group wasn't going to let us down, that they truly were invested in their efforts. And we have a great relationship with our account manager who checks in with us monthly to make sure that we have what we need, that we don't have any questions. And if we do have questions, she's ready to hop on a call with us. It really is a great working relationship.
If you could go back 5 to 10 years and give yourself advice, what would it be?
I would tell myself to ask more questions. Be the loud one. I think that females, especially in the workplace, have been given this stigma of all sorts of awful things when we speak up, when we ask questions, when we push the bar. And I think that if I knew then what I know now, I would be an even stronger personality, which I feel bad for my boss. He's probably thankful that he didn't know me then, maybe. But I think asking questions and putting a spotlight on things and being ready to question why something doesn't work or why do we do it that way, I think that it would make me an even stronger person today.
If someone wants to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
It's probably best to email me, cmontgomery@actx.edu.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing with me today. It was great getting to know you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is the Filling Seats podcast, hosted by Student Bridge, where we help enrollment teams achieve more by fusing authentic storytelling with industry-leading technology and personalized digital experiences. If you're looking to attract more, amaze more, and achieve more, visit studentbridge.com. To connect with this episode's guest, check out the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. For more information about the podcast or to let us know you'd like to be a guest, visit studentbridge.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.